Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we kneel before Thee to share a word of prayer. And it is my desire to simply kneel before Thee and kneel before our High God to ask for Your grace and blessing tonight.
El arrodillarme en esta noche para que tú impartas tus bendiciones en nosotros.
Tonight's subject is of vital importance for us to understand.
Y el tema de esta noche es un tema de gran importancia para entender.
And while there may be some people here tonight that already know this subject,
y aunque haya gente aquí que ya saben el tema,
there are others here tonight that this will be the first time that they have heard these things. And so I ask and pray in a very special way for the outpouring and presence of Your Holy Spirit. As we begin to identify the Antichrist, the great system of unrighteousness that opposes our Savior,
el gran sistema de falsedad que opone a nuestro Señor Jesucristo,
I pray that, Lord, as these things are revealed, that our eyes would be led to Christ, the true Savior.
Yo oro que al revelar estas cosas, nuestros ojos se dirijan a nuestro Salvador,
who stands as the true mediator between God and men.
Que es el único mediador entre Dios y los hombres.
Please speak to our hearts tonight, I pray.
Oro para que tú abras al corazón de cada uno de nosotros.
And please fill this room with the presence of holy angels.
Y por favor, llena este lugar con la presencia de tus ángeles poderosos.
And we thank You tonight for hearing and answering these prayers in Jesus' name.
Y te damos las gracias por escuchar nuestras oraciones en el nombre de Jesús.
Amen.
Amen.
Once again, good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
I'll try that one more time. Good evening.
Good evening.
Buenas noches.
Amen. As we prepare to go into the Word of God this evening, we are going to be looking at the identification of the Antichrist.
Como empezamos a hablar de la Biblia, en esta noche vamos a identificar al Anticristo.
We're going to be studying from the books of Daniel and Revelation this evening.
Vamos a estudiar las profecías de Daniel y Apocalipsis en esta noche.
And I'm going to ask that we would turn together in our Bibles to the book of Daniel.
Y les voy a pedir que volteen o den la vuelta a la página al libro de Daniel.
Last night we investigated and studied together Daniel chapter 2.
Anoche estudiamos el capítulo 2 del libro de Daniel.
And we looked at the great kingdoms of Bible prophecy together.
Y vimos a los reinos de la tierra en la profecía.
And we traced down by the pen of inspiration the kingdoms of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and also pagan Rome.
Y pudimos identificar por la palabra profética más segura a los reinos de Babilonia, Medo-Persia, Grecia, y Roma.
And we found out that in the feet and toes that were made of iron and clay, this symbolized something.
Y vimos que en la estatua los pies de hierro y barro representan algo.
That while the iron represented Rome, the clay represented the church.
Que mientras Roma el hierro representaba el imperio, el barro representaba la iglesia.
And so we looked at the fact that the iron and the clay represented the mingling or the joining of church and state.
Y vimos que esa unión es la unión del Estado y la Iglesia.
Tonight we're going to look now at Daniel chapter 7 that repeats the same information but gives us more detail.
Y esta noche el capítulo 7 de Daniel repite la misma información del capítulo 2 pero da más detalles.
This is called the principle of repetition and enlargement in Scripture.
Y se llama el principio de repetición y engrandamiento.
In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a vision of four beasts. So we're now going to read that together.
Y en Daniel capítulo 7, él tiene una visión de cuatro grandes bestias.
I'm going to be reading in English, and I'm going to ask, for time's sake, that you would read along with me if you're reading from a Spanish Bible.
Y les voy a pedir que mientras yo leo en inglés, los que están leyendo en español nada más me sigan también.
The Bible says, beginning with Daniel chapter 7, verse 1.
Capítulo 7, versículo 1.
And when you're there, if you can please just let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, beginning with verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Excuse me while we just change this microphone out. Can everyone hear me okay on this microphone?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to bow my head for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to simply thank you for the Bible study tonight. And we recognize that Satan is a very angry and also an intelligent foe. And he understands the works of electronics. So we ask and pray for your holy name's sake that you would please be with the computers and the cameras and the microphones tonight. But above all, be with the sacred reading of Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Daniel chapter 7, once again, picking it back up in Daniel chapter 7. And for the sake of the recording and for the sake of your own hearing, let's pick it back up in verse 1. The Bible says this. Are we all there together? Amen.
En el versículo 1, nuevamente.
The Bible says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great what? Upon the great sea. These are all Bible symbols. We're going to come back and interpret them in just a little bit. Continuing on in verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. Verse 4.
Versículo 4.
The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a what?
Bear.
Like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw, verse 7, in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great, what kind of teeth?
¿Qué tipo de dientes tenía la bestia aquí?
Yeah.
¿El siete?
Iron teeth, just like those iron legs. We continue on. It says it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. We're going to pause there and simply do a quick review.
Vamos a hacer un pequeño repaso.
Last night we looked at the kingdoms of Bible prophecy from Daniel chapter 2.
Anoche vimos los reinos de del mundo en capítulo 2 de Daniel.
We looked at the timeline and saw that the kingdoms of gold and silver, brass and iron.
Vimos a los reinos de la cabeza de oro, de plata, de bronce y de hierro.
Represented the four major world empires of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and also pagan Rome.
Representando Babilonia, Medo-Persia, Grecia, y Roma.
And then we found out that in Daniel chapter 7, these four beasts are going to represent these same four kingdoms.
Y en el capítulo 7, estas bestias también van a representar esos cuatro reinos.
Matter of fact, notice what the Bible says right here in Daniel 7, verse 16.
Veamos en el capítulo 7, versículo 16.
Daniel says, I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this, so he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are for what? Kings which shall arise out of the earth. Now last night we discussed something important.
Anoche discutimos algo importante.
And that is that a person cannot be a king unless he has a kingdom.
Hablamos de que un rey no puede ser rey sin ningún reino.
So these four beasts or four kings represent four what? Kingdoms.
Y estos cuatro reyes representan cuatro reinos.
Matter of fact, it gets even more clear. Notice what the Bible says as we drop down right here in verse 19.
En el versículo 19, para más claridad.
Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, was devoured, broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now notice what it says in verse 23.
Vean el versículo 23.
Thus he said, the angel says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth what? Kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So it's very clear that a beast in Bible prophecy represents a kingdom.
Es claro que una bestia en la profecía, de acuerdo a lo que leímos, representa un reino, una bestia.
We look at these four beasts, the lion with eagle's wings represents the first kingdom, which would be which kingdom?
Babylon. La primera bestia que tiene es un león con alas, representa qué reino?
It would be the first kingdom, just like the head of gold.
El primer reino es Babilonia.
The bear raising itself up on one side would represent the kingdom of Medo-Persia.
El oso levantado de un lado representa el reino de Medo-Persia.
One side of the bear was raised up, representing that the Persians were to rise up in more strength than the Medes in future times.
Y el que el oso está levantado de un lado más que del otro representa que los persas iban a levantarse más que los medos.
The three ribs represented the three kingdoms that would be plucked up or destroyed by the Medo-Persians.
Los tres costillas que tiene el oso en la boca representan las tres naciones que tuvo que vencer.
They defeated Babylon, Egypt, and also Lydia.
Venciendo a Babilonia, Medo-Persia, venciendo a Babilonia, Libia y Egipto.
And we also then have the leopard with the four heads and the four wings of a fowl representing Greece.
Tenemos al leopardo con cuatro cabezas y cuatro alas representando a Grecia.
Once Alexander the Great died, his four generals took over the kingdom.
Una vez que Alejandro Magno fue muerto, cuatro generales tomaron el reino.
Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy.
Cassander,
Lysimachus,
Lysimaco,
Seleucus,
Seleuco,
and Ptolemy.
Y Ptolomeo.
The fourth kingdom, which would have teeth like iron, would also represent that iron kingdom of Rome.
El cuarto reino representado por la cuarta bestia es Roma.
Pagan Rome.
Roma pagana.
But then the Bible says that there would be a division in Rome.
Y la Biblia dice que iba a haber una división en Roma.
Into 10 parts.
En 10 partes.
And these pagan tribes represented here on this map divided the pagan kingdom of Rome into 10 parts.
Y estas 10 naciones paganas dividieron al Imperio Romano en 10 partes.
Matter of fact, to this very day, these pagan tribes are still highly visible in Europe today.
De hecho, varias de las naciones aquí representadas es la Europa de hoy en día.
You look at, for example, the Franks are modern day France.
Por ejemplo, vemos los francos que hoy en día son los franceses.
You look up here on the top that it kind of got cut off, but it says the Anglo-Saxons today are also Great Britain.
Y en la parte de arriba dice anglosajones, que es hoy en día Gran Bretaña o Inglaterra.
Today, the Alemanni.
Los alemanes.
We know who they are.
Sabemos quiénes son.
Who speaks Spanish today? Who's in here?
¿Quién habla español aquí en esta noche?
How do you say German in Spanish?
¿Cómo dicen?
Alemania.
Alemán.
The Alemanni are modern-day Germans.
Son los alemanes.
However, three of these kingdoms or tribes were taken away or plucked up or destroyed.
Tres de estos reinos de los diez fueron arrancados de raíz.
The Vandals, the Heruli, and the Ostrogoths were destroyed by another kingdom that would arise.
Los Vándalos, los Cérulos, y los Ostrogodos fueron destruidos por otro reino que se levantaría.
They would be destroyed by what the Bible calls a little horn.
Fueron destruidos por lo que la Biblia llama el cuerno pequeño.
Notice what the Bible says in Daniel 8, verse 24 and 25.
Daniel 8, 25 y 26.
24 and 25.
24 y 25.
And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings or 3 kingdoms. Now notice verse 25.
Vean el 25.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out or persecute the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now notice what the Bible, I want you to, matter of fact, why don't you read that in Spanish as well, verse 24 and 25, just to emphasize that, please.
Voy a leer en español el 24 y el 25 de Daniel 7 para que lo entiendan más claramente. Dice, y los 10 cuernos significan que de aquel reino se levantarán 10 reyes, y tras ellos se levantará otro, el cual será mayor que los primeros, y a 3 reyes derribará, y hablará palabras contra el Altísimo, y a los santos del Altísimo quebrantará, y pensará en mudar los tiempos y la ley, y entregados serán en su mano hasta tiempo, tiempos y medio un tiempo.
This is the Antichrist power.
Este es el poder del anticristo.
This is the power that's also described in the book of Revelation chapter 13.
Este es el poder que también describe en el libro de Apocalipsis capítulo 13.
Both powers do the same thing.
Que todos los poderes hacen lo mismo.
The matter of fact, notice what the Bible says in Revelation 13. Let's go there quickly.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 13 para darnos cuenta.
Both powers blaspheme God.
Estos poderes blasfeman contra Dios.
The both powers follow those four beasts that were before it.
Y ambos poderes siguen a las bestias anteriores.
This power persecutes the saints of God.
Y estos poderes persiguen al pueblo de Dios.
And it also rules for the same time period. Let's notice what the Bible says. Did you want to say that, brother?
Okay. Estos reinos reinan por el mismo periodo de tiempo, tiempos, tiempos y la mitad de un tiempo.
Revelation 13, let's notice what the Bible says in verse 1.
Apocalipsis 13, versículo 1.
The Bible says in Revelation 13, verse 1, are we all there together, friends? Amen.
Apocalipsis 13, 1.
It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, friends, let me ask you a question.
Déjenme preguntarles algo.
When you're reading these symbols, where does your mind automatically go to in the Bible?
Cuando leen estos símbolos del versículo 2, ¿a dónde los dirige automáticamente?
When you see a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a dragon.
Cuando ven al león, al oso, al leopardo.
What part of Daniel does your mind go to?
¿Qué parte de Daniel lo dirige?
Daniel chapter 7, we just read it.
Daniel 7, ¿cierto? Ya lo leímos.
It's the same description of the same power.
La descripción exacta del mismo poder.
Matter of fact, notice what the Bible says right here in verse 5.
En el versículo 5,
it does the same thing to the people of God. It says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with who? With the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now notice what the Bible says here, friends.
Vean lo que la Biblia dice aquí, amigos.
This power rules for a specific time.
Este poder dirige por un tiempo exacto.
This power is the same power described in Daniel chapter 2, the combination of church and state in Rome.
Que representa a Roma, el Estado y la Iglesia.
The papacy was to rule for this amount of time.
El papado iba a regir el mundo por ese tiempo.
The little horn was to rule for a time, times and the dividing of time.
Iba a dirigir el mundo por tiempo, tiempos y la mitad de un tiempo.
Now in the Hebrew, the word time is the Hebrew word idan, which means a year.
en el idioma hebreo, la palabra para tiempos es edom, y significa tiempo,
which means a year.
Significa año.
Now notice what this says: the time times and half a time, the 1,200 threescore days, and the 42 months are all the same time period.
Los 1,260 días y los 42 meses es el exacto tiempo.
It represents
tiempo exacto.
The 1,260 years.
Hablando de los 1,260 años.
Now let's go. We're going to go back to this in just a little bit.
Vamos a regresar en un tiempo más.
I want to go ahead and look now at the characteristics to identify this power.
Y vamos a buscar las características que identifican este poder.
It's very clear that the papacy followed in the steps of pagan Rome.
Es tan claro saber que el papado siguió en los pasos de la Roma pagana.
But how do we prove it from Scripture?
Pero ¿cómo lo probamos de la Escritura?
I want to look at the beast of Revelation chapter 13 in detail.
Y quiero ir a Apocalipsis 13 para explicarlo más en detalle.
We recognize the fourth beast represented the power of pagan Rome.
Sabemos que las cuatro veces representan el poder de la Roma pagana.
Pagan Rome was used by Satan to persecute the church of God.
La Roma pagana fue utilizada por Satanás para perseguir a la iglesia.
It also says this power would give to the papacy its power, its seat, and great authority.
Y se dice que le iba a dar el poder, su asiento y grande autoridad.
Let's go ahead and go to these 9 points in Scripture.
Vamos a esos 9 puntos de la Escritura que nos da para identificarlo.
If you have a pen and paper, you may want to just take a moment to write these down, because we're going to go back over this in detail.
Si pueden, los que tengan con qué escribir, escríbanos, porque vamos a regresar nuevamente.
Here are 9 characteristics of this power.
9 características sobre este poder anticristiano.
Number 1.
Número uno.
This power would rise in a populated area.
Este poder iba a levantarse en una área populosa.
Number 2, it would receive power from the dragon or from Rome, pagan Rome.
Iba a recibir poder del dragón o de Roma.
Number 3, it commits blasphemy. We'll talk about that.
Y comete blasfemias. Número 3.
Number 4, it would receive worship, or it is a religious power.
Número 4, iba a recibir adoración, o es un poder religioso.
Yet we'll find out also the Bible says it controls nations' military. It also is a political power. It's a political and religious power.
Habla que es un poder político religioso.
It reigns for 42 prophetic months, or 1,260 literal years. We'll come back to all these point by point.
Iba a reinar por 42 meses proféticos o 1,260 años.
Number 7, it persecutes the saints.
Número 7, persigue a los santos.
Number 8, receives a deadly wound.
Número 8, recibe una herida mortal.
And number 9, finally, the deadly wound will be healed.
Y el número 9, la herida mortal iba a ser sanada.
If you have not done writing these down, don't worry, we'll come back to it in a little bit.
Si no lo pudieron escribir, no se preocupen, vamos a regresar ahí.
First of all, let's notice what the Bible says, because it says that this beast rises up out of the sea.
Dice la Biblia que esta bestia se levanta de la mar.
Revelation 13, verse 1.
Apocalipsis 13, versículo 1.
The Bible says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the what? Out of the sea.
¿De dónde se levantó? De la mar, dice en el versículo.
You may want to write this down, friends, that in Scripture, the sea or waters represent a populated area.
En la Biblia, cuando habla de mares, se refiere a zonas populosas donde hay mucha gente.
Notice what the Bible says in Revelation 17. We're going to try to go as quickly as we can.
Vean lo que dice en Apocalipsis 17 con referente a lo de la...
Revelation 17 and verse 15.
Apocalipsis 17, versículo 15.
The Bible says, and he saith unto me... Are we all there, friends? Amen.
¿Están ahí?
Revelation 17, verse 15.
Versículo 15.
And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And so water in the Bible represents a populated area.
Vemos que la Biblia nos enseña que el agua representa zonas populosas.
Many peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues.
Muchas naciones, lenguas, y pueblos.
We're going to find out that, again, when Rome was divided into modern-day Western Europe, this power would arise from this area.
Y vemos que de las naciones de Europa ese poder se levantaría.
Let's notice what it says. So arises in a populated area. Now notice number two, it will receive power from the dragon or from Rome.
Dice que recibiría poder del dragón o Roma.
Revelation 13, let's notice what it's again.
13, veamos lo que dice nuevamente.
Revelation 13 and verse 2.
13:2.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, who was the lion in Daniel chapter 7?
¿Quién era el león en Daniel 2?
Babylon.
Babylonia.
Are we all there together? You're all with me, right? Just making sure, because when you get quiet, I get concerned. Either you're falling asleep or you're just paying attention and thinking really deeply. So I want to make sure you're with me. Amen.
Que no se duerman, eh?
So the lion represents which kingdom?
El león representa
Babylon.
Babilonia.
The bear represents Medo-Persia.
El oso Medo-Persia.
The leopard represents Greece.
El leopardo, Grecia.
So this other nondescript beast the Bible calls a dragon would then be which fourth kingdom? Rome.
La cuarta vez indescriptible, ¿quién es?
The dragon represents several different things in Scripture, but one of the applications is pagan Rome.
Un dragón en la Biblia representa varias cosas, pero específicamente lo que estamos leyendo representa Roma.
So in this Scripture, it says that the dragon or pagan Rome would give to this other power, its seat, and great authority. Are you all with me?
La escritura nos dice que este poder o Roma le iba a dar poder, autoridad y su asiento a este otro poder que se levantaría.
That's extremely important to understand that principle.
Y es muy, muy importante entender ese principio.
Because we're going to find out that when this power received its seat, the time prophecy began.
Porque nos damos cuenta que cuando recibe este poder, su asiento, es cuando empieza la profecía de tiempo.
Let's go into some quick history.
Vamos un poco más de historia.
This is a whole different Bible study, the seven seals of Revelation, different Bible study for a different time.
Esto es otro estudio diferente de los sellos, pero vamos a empezar.
But this gives the history of the church.
Habla de la historia de la iglesia.
The political history of the church.
La historia política de la iglesia.
And we'll talk more about that on Sabbath.
Y hablaremos más de esto en el sábado.
Now we look at this, the seven seals.
Los siete sellos.
Takes place with the divisions of pagan Rome, gives the same history as the, how should I say this? It gives the history of the early Christian church. They say that.
La historia de la iglesia primitiva.
Let's notice what this says.
Vamos a ver lo que dice.
With the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Los cuatro caballeros del apocalipsis.
You have a white horse, a red horse, a black horse, and a pale horse.
Un caballo blanco, un caballo negro, un caballo rojo y un caballo amarillo.
This represents the first part of the early Christian church.
Representan la primera parte de la iglesia primitiva.
The white horse representing the apostolic church.
El caballo blanco representa la iglesia apostólica.
During this time, the Christian church was going forward to conquer and to conquer, preaching Christ and his righteousness.
Durante este tiempo, la iglesia salió a conquistar al mundo.
Throughout the world, Christ was being lifted up. The horse was white, just like the church was pure.
El caballo representa la pureza de la iglesia.
It talks about in Revelation 19, verse 8, that this fine white linen is the righteousness of saints.
En Apocalipsis 19:8 dice que el lino blanco representa los actos justos de los santos.
All throughout the world, people taught and preached Jesus Christ. All through the book of Acts, Christ was preached.
A través del mundo en ese entonces, Cristo estaba siendo predicado a toda nación.
And the early church turned the world upside down under the power of the early rain.
Y la iglesia primitiva volteó el mundo boca arriba bajo el poder del Espíritu Santo.
You know what, friends? When the church, under the power of the latter rain, will also turn the world upside down.
¿Y saben algo? Bajo el poder del Espíritu Santo de la lluvia tardía, la iglesia en el final del tiempo va a voltear el mundo boca arriba nuevamente.
But soon a change came in the Roman Empire.
Pero un cambio vino en el Imperio Romano.
And in the Roman Empire, because of Christ being preached, there began to be persecution.
Y en el Imperio Romano en ese tiempo, porque Cristo estaba siendo predicado, empezó a haber persecución.
The red horse rider brought death and, it brought persecution and a sword.
El caballo rojo trajo la persecución y la espada.
The devil realized that he could not destroy the church through death.
el Satanás supo que no podía destruir a la iglesia.
And during this period of time, friends, as the ancient historians say,
y durante ese tiempo, como uno de los historiadores de antaño dijo,
that when one Christian would die through martyrdom, that another 100 would spring up.
Que por un cristiano que derramara su sangre, otros 100 se levantaban.
And the historian said that the blood of the martyrs was seed.
Y decía el historiador que la sangre de los cristianos era semilla.
When the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman, he persecuted the church, which brought forth the man child. I'm going to continue on, friends.
Voy a continuar.
Pagan Rome was the persecutor of the early Christian church.
Roma pagana fue la que persiguió a la iglesia cristiana.
They not only did they crucify our Lord, broke in pieces and bruised Christ, but they also crucified Peter upside down.
No tan solo crucificaron al Señor Jesús, pero también a Pedro boca abajo.
They cast the Christians to the lions and burned them at the stake in the Roman Colosseum.
Aventaban a los cristianos a las bestias en el Coliseo.
I want to just simply slow down and ask you a question, friends.
Quiero preguntarles algo.
Sometimes it's difficult for me to translate, to get the momentum, but I want to ask you just a sincere question.
Quiero preguntarles una pregunta sincera.
Are we really ready for this type of persecution to be repeated?
¿Estamos realmente listos para una persecución igual como en antaño?
I want to tell you something, friends. The Word of God is very clear.
La palabra de Dios es muy, muy clara.
That under the mark of the beast issue that is soon to come upon this world,
bajo la marca de la bestia que está a punto de suscitarse en el mundo,
those that decide to stand for the commandments of God and for the faith of Christ are going to suffer persecution.
Aquellos que van a estar teniendo la fe de Jesús y siguiendo los mandamientos de Dios van a ser perseguidos.
And I just want to simply ask us a serious question.
Tengo que preguntarles esta pregunta muy, muy seria.
Preaching aside, are we really truly ready to lay down our lives for Christ?
¿Estamos realmente listos para dar nuestra vida por Cristo?
What is your life really like?
¿Qué es realmente tu vida?
What is your spiritual life really like in secret?
¿Cuál es tu estilo de vida espiritual en secreto?
Because whatever you're like in secret is going to come out in front of the entire world.
Porque lo que tu vida es en secreto va a ser sacado al mundo a la luz del día.
Do you understand this, friends?
¿Lo entienden?
If we are playing games with God,
si estamos jugando juegos con Dios,
and if we are living in compromise and in sin right now,
si estamos comprometiendo y viviendo en pecado ahorita,
in times of persecution, what you are really like is going to come out.
En el tiempo de la persecución va a salir el que realmente eres.
And there are a lot of us right here in this room tonight.
Y hay muchos hoy en este cuarto.
While we have a lot of intellectual information up in our brains,
que mientras tenemos tanta información intelectual en la cabeza,
in our inner lives, in our hearts, we are messed up.
En nuestra vida, en nuestro corazón, no servimos para nada.
And friends, we are told that it is in a crisis that character is not developed. It is in a crisis that character is revealed.
Se nos dice que el carácter se revela no en los tiempos de crisis, pero se revela día a día.
And so though we may put on suits and ties and come to church and say God bless you,
y aunque nos vistamos bien para venir a la iglesia y decir que Dios te bendiga,
very soon, friends,
muy pronto,
very soon,
muy, muy pronto,
what we're really like is going to come out.
Lo que somos va a salir.
You know, friends, the devil knows that in the face of death, many of us will deny Christ.
Satanás sabe que cuando está nuestra vida de por medio, sabe que vamos a negar.
And let me just tell you something straight out right now.
Y le voy a decir algo directo.
Satan,
Satanás,
is going to set things up in this world,
va a poner todo en este mundo,
in such a way,
en una forma,
that the entire world will be under such satanic control,
que va a estar bajo un poder controlado satánicamente,
that the devil is going to try to make it impossible for true Christians to serve God.
Que Satanás lo va a hacer casi imposible para que el cristiano siga y obedezca a Dios.
And many of us, friends, if we're compromising right now, it'll be easy to compromise then.
Y muchos que ahora estamos siendo comprometidos, nuestra fe la estamos comprometiendo en ese tiempo, lo vamos a dejar muy fácil.
Matter of fact, let me just show you something in the Bible really quickly. Revelation chapter 20.
A Biblia, Apocalipsis 20.
Many of us really don't realize what's going to happen under this mark of the beast test.
Muchos no nos damos cuenta lo que va a pasar bajo esta marca.
Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, brothers and sisters.
20 versículo 4.
And when you're there, just let me know by saying amen.
Cuando lleguen, digan amén.
The Bible says, Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls. We're in Revelation 20 verse 4.
Apocalipsis 20 versículo 4.
And it says, and I saw the souls of them that were what? They were what?
¿Fueron qué?
They were beheaded.
Fueron decapitados.
For the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Friends, did you notice what that said?
¿Vieron lo que dice?
It said that under the image of the mark of the beast test, that people are going to get their heads cut off.
Que bajo la imagen de la bestia o la marca de la bestia también los cristianos van a ser degollados.
And some of us really don't believe the Bible.
Y muchos no creemos estas cosas de la Biblia.
Do you really believe, sitting here right now tonight,
¿realmente crees tú hoy sentado aquí,
that if you stand for Christ, your head's going to get chopped off?
Que si realmente te paras por Cristo, vas a ser degollado.
I'm asking you, do you really seriously believe that one day your head's going to get chopped off?
¿Realmente lo crees que tu cabeza va a rodar?
How many of you have actually thought about that?
¿Cuántos realmente se sientan a
actually pensar? Sitting in your house saying, Lord, please help me to spiritually prepare for getting my head chopped off.
Decirle a Dios en tu casa, ayúdame Dios a prepararme cuando me corten la cabeza.
This stuff is real, friends.
Esto es real.
And the word of God is trying to warn us to get our lives ready for these events.
Y la Biblia nos dice que nos preparemos en nuestra vida para estos eventos.
The people of God that were persecuted back days then in the Roman Empire, friends, these were people of faith.
Esta gente que fue perseguida y martirizada era gente de fe.
These types of pictures, these types of paintings are real descriptions of things that really happened.
Esto que vemos son cosas que pasaron en la realidad.
When they will be crucified and burned at the stake, ripped apart by lions, and look at them, they're kneeling and praying to their Savior.
Vean esta gente que estaba siendo destruida por las bestias y quemada en la estaca, estaban todavía orando.
And these types of these times of persecution, friends, are soon to be repeated.
Y esto va a repetirse nuevamente en estos tiempos.
But the scripture record is clear.
Y la Biblia nos enseña claramente
that in the days of Emperor Constantine, a compromise came in the church.
Que en el tiempo del emperador Constantino hubo un compromiso entre la iglesia y
and the once pure church became a dirty church.
Y la iglesia pura se volvió una iglesia impura.
And the compromising church began to rise on the scene.
Iglesia que empezó a comprometerse con el Estado se levantó.
Church and state began to unite all the way back in the days of Constantine.
La iglesia se empezó a juntar desde el tiempo del emperador Constantino.
Pagan traditions came into Christianity. Idol worship, saint worship.
Tradiciones paganas se introdujeron en la iglesia. Adoración de imágenes y a Satanás entraron.
People began to confess their sins to man rather than confessing their sins to the living Christ.
Gente empezó a confesarse a hombres y no al Dios viviente.
The great church of Rome became embellished with all sorts of worldly honors and titles.
La iglesia de Roma se levantó con toda la pompa del mundo.
Sun worship.
La adoración del sol.
Which goes all the way back to the days of the Tower of Babel came into the Christian church.
Que data desde los tiempos de la Torre de Babel llegó hasta la iglesia en ese tiempo.
In every culture of the world, people worship the sun.
Y en cada cultura de la tierra, las culturas han adorado el sol.
But in God's church, people kept the seventh-day Sabbath in honor of the Creator God.
Pero la iglesia de Cristo, en honor a Dios, mantenía el sábado.
As we continue on, friends, pagan traditions came into the church. Notice what this says right here from history.
Vean lo que dice aquí en la historia.
A.C. Flick, The Rise of the Medieval Church, says, it is an undisputed fact of history that under the later Roman emperors, after Constantine, the religion of the Roman government was changed from pagan to papal. that the bishops of Rome received rich gifts and great authority from Constantine and succeeding emperors, and that after the year AD 476, the bishop of Rome became the most influential power in Western Rome, and by Justinian in 533 was declared to be head of all the holy churches and the corrector of heretics. The removal of the capital of the empire from Rome to Constantinople in 330 AD left the Western Church practically free from Imperial Rome. In the seat of the Caesars, he was now the greatest man in the West, and was soon, when the barbarians overran the empire, forced to become the political as well as the spiritual head. We continue on with history right here as well. Adolf Harnack, What is Christianity? It says the Pope, who calls himself King and Pontifex Maximus, is Caesar's successor.
El Papa, que es el sucesor de los emperadores romanos, se llama Rey.
And when the bishops of Rome took upon themselves a name of God and took upon themselves a name of Holy Father, which Jesus said we should never call a man, it became the church of the Antichrist.
Cuando el papado o los hombres que dirigían la iglesia se llamaron Santo Padre, vemos que es lo que Cristo dijo que nunca se debe hacer, y desde ese tiempo se empezó a hacer la iglesia del Anticristo.
And now the great apostate papal church ruled the world for 1260 years.
Y este periodo empezó a reinar de 1260 años.
It received its power from pagan Rome.
Y recibió su poder de Roma pagana.
It commits blasphemy.
Comete blasfemia, so hace blasfemia.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, please.
Vamos al libro de Juan.
We still have some material to cover, so please, let's just go quickly as we can. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. What does the Bible teach blasphemy is?
Vamos a ver lo que la Biblia enseña que es blasfemia.
John, chapter 10.
Juan, capítulo 10.
There are at least two biblical definitions for when a man speaks blasphemy.
Hay dos definiciones, por lo menos, que la Biblia habla lo que es blasfemia.
John chapter 2, the Bible says this,
Juan 2,
in verse 30,
en versículo 30
through 33.
Al 33.
John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33. Are we all there, friends? Amen. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Now, are Jesus and the Father one?
Amen.
Amen. So, Jesus was telling the truth. Amen.
Amen. John what?
John 10, verses 30 through 33.
Juan 10, versículo 30 al 33.
And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for what? Blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So the first definition of blasphemy is this.
La primera definición de blasfemia es esta.
When a man claims to be equal with God, he's committing blasphemy.
Cuando un hombre se dice ser igual a Dios, está cometiendo una blasfemia.
Now, is Jesus equal with God?
Ahora, Jesús es igual a Dios.
Amen. Yes, he is.
Claro que lo es.
So Jesus was not speaking blasphemy.
Jesús no estaba hablando blasfemia.
But the Jews recognize that when any ordinary man says that he's equal with God, he's committing blasphemy.
Pero que cuando los judíos entendieron que cuando cualquier hombre que no era Jesús se decía que era Dios o igual a Dios, estaban cometiendo blasfemia.
So point number one.
Punto número uno.
When a man claims to be God, he's speaking blasphemy.
Cuando un hombre habla ser igual a Dios, es blasfemia.
Point number two, go to Mark chapter 2.
Punto número dos, vamos a Marcos 2.
And we're looking at verses 5 through 7.
Versículo 5 al 7.
Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says this.
Marcos 2, 5 al 7.
When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We're in Mark 2, 5 through 7.
Marcos 2, 5 al 7.
Jesus forgives the man his sins. Does Jesus have the power to forgive sin, yes or no?
Jesús tenía el poder de perdonar pecado, sí o no?
Amen, because friends, if he didn't, you and I would be in big trouble.
Si no fuera así, tú y yo estaríamos en gran.
But praise God that Christ has the power given him to forgive sin. The Bible says this in verse 6, but There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak what? Blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God only? So notice number two.
Número dos.
When a man claims to forgive sin, he's committing blasphemy.
Cuando un hombre dice que puede perdonar pecados, es blasfemia.
So what is blasphemy?
¿Qué es blasfemia?
When a man claims to be God.
Cuando un hombre dice que es como Dios.
And when a man claims to forgive sin.
Cuando dice que puede perdonar pecados.
He's blaspheming.
Está blasfemando.
What does this man claim to be?
¿Qué es lo que este hombre dice que puede hacer?
What do billions of people in the world call this man?
¿Cómo le llama la gente a este hombre en el mundo entero?
They call him by the name of God. They call him Holy Father.
Le llaman por el nombre de Dios.
They call him